Hey guys, welcome back to the Pop Punk Emo Supremo Podcast. We got two hosts. One of them's name is Hunter.
Hey guys.
Hey. And the other one is Roper. Hey guys.
What do we got for us?
We've got a nice interview with Frazier Simpson from Chief State.
We even knew his last name.
I do.
Super fan. I only knew his first name, and it always reminds me of the show Frazier.
Frazier.
I wonder if we didn't talk about that, we should have said something.
We should have, but I'm sure he gets that all the time.
Probably. Yeah. Probably. But yeah, we got a great interview. Frazier, I felt like as soon as we started warming up to each other, it was like to the home where we were just best friends.
So much fun.
All we had to do... No, I can't mention it. Well, I'll mention it afterwards. Yeah. I'll say what we had to do to warm him up.
Yeah.
But it was such a good time. We've also had Nick on the show.
Yep.
Nick was a blast. That was one of the worst interviews ever, purely because I forgot to record the interview. And then he was the nicest person ever.
Yes.
He was even on a time crunch. He's like, yeah, it's okay. We'll just run it through one more time. So if it sounded rushed back then, it's because it was.
Yep. And then Frazier ended up being like our most perfect interview with no problems.
Yeah,
whatsoever.
We didn't have problems with internet, which we always do. Yep. With audio, with something. So yeah, Frazier. I think I was trying to jinx myself in the beginning too. I was like, what's gonna go wrong this time? You know, but it was a great time. We had a lot of fun. Frazier's cool as shit. Do you have anything you want to say before we jump into the interview?
I do not.
Okay. Well, this is it. It's time. Let's do
the interview.
Perfect. Is the vocalist for the powerhouse band Chief State, which hails from Vancouver, British Columbia. In 2020, Chief State released their impressive EP, Tough Love, which has just been followed up by their first full-length record, Waiting for Your Colors. Roper and I have been anticipating this record's release, so let's get to it. Let's welcome Frazier! How we doing?
Hey, doing good. How's it going, guys?
Not too shabby.
Good, good.
That's like Roper hasn't said a single word yet. Yeah.
So excited. I have no words.
I know. We've been, the new record's been amazing. Just to kind of start this off, we've been super anticipating it, and we were not let down. All right. So I'll kick us off here. And this is kind of a normal question here, but what is your pop punk origin story? How did it all begin for you?
Oh, okay. Well, like back in the day, it would have been, you know, My dad was a punkhead, so I grew up with the Ramones and Stiff Little Fingers and the Sex Pistols and like all the original 70s early punk bands. So that's like what I grew up with. And then kind of when I was a teenager and stuff, Blink-182 and Sum 41 were doing their thing. And so I was massively into pop punk then. Since like the age of 10 to 12, like I was always starting bands and like always in bands. But then I guess from like a certain age, maybe 16, I kind of grew away from pop punk. I'm not sure what bands would have been around at the time, but it was just a little bit more like, I don't know, like kind of poppy pop punk, I would say.
Sure.
A lot more of the Love and the, you know, ooey gooey stuff. I don't know how to say that, but it didn't really grab me anymore. And then, so I kind of moved away. I was writing like indie music and kind of doing some solo projects and stuff for a while. And then all of a sudden, what brought me back to this genre was, watching a Jared Alonje video.
Oh, shit. Yes.
Yeah. And I'm like, I think it was the one where it was like, pop punk singers do this.
Yeah. He pulls out the piece of pizza from his coat and starts eating it.
And it's fucking ridiculous. It's over the top and, it's crazy. And I'm just like, can't believe I used to listen to that shit. You know, I'm like joining in with the joke. And then the end credits of the video had a Story So Far, Quicksand, as the credit music, the playout music. And And I'm still laughing at this point. And then I'm like, whoa, what the fuck was that? And I'm like, I got to know what song that is. And so it was the story so far that just dragged me back in. And, you know, I'm sure you can tell from the kind of music we released, but I'm all about the kind of faster, more aggressive stuff. And, and yeah, it would have been the story so far that dragged me back in. And from that point, I was able to open the door to like all of these other bands, like, you know, Real Friends, Knuckle Puck, State Champs, Trash Boat, and just have been immersed in it since, I would say.
Absolutely. Yeah, I could definitely hear the Trash Boat.
Oh, yeah.
100%. At least for the we love the first record. After that, it starts to kind of teeter for us.
Yeah, that'll be the English in me. We're both from the South.
That's fair. I was going to say, I mean, we've had a good amount of people on the show, and your accent, like, totally threw me off for a second. I'm like, I literally just read British Columbia. I should have totally knew what was coming.
That's the thing. So, like, British Columbia is, like, everyone around here sounds Canadian and North American. I've spent 23 years of my life in growing up in the UK. So, I mean, I can't shake
this out. That's what it is. Yeah. Listen, I don't know where anywhere, if it's not the US, like, that's how uncultured I am. Just a tiny bit, just a little challenge.
It's just me. I'm the odd one out. The rest of the band are all Canadian. Everyone sounds like normal, I guess. But yeah, I'm now some kind of mutt in between English and
I was going to say, have you like taken some of your bandmates? Like how they pronounce things, have you kind of like taken over that at all?
Oh, 100%. I've been in this country now for like six or 7 years, so my accent is fucked. Like, I'm in this horrible position where if I meet people in North America, they go, oh, you're not from here, are you English, are you Australian, you know, that sort of thing. And then when I go back to England, they're like, what the fuck are you? Like, you sound American, but kind of not. So I don't sound like anybody. It's really weird.
And everyone secluded you. They're like, you're not one of us.
Yeah, now you have.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. And I feel it. It's actually funny you mentioned that. We played a show on Friday, and I'm guessing it was a local show, and I'm guessing there was just a group of, I guess, new people that hadn't really seen us or didn't really know who we are. But my girlfriend was stood near them and said she overheard them saying, what the hell? I thought this band was from Vancouver. I thought they were from here. Because I was talking with my accent and they were just like...
Does the girlfriend like the accent?
I think so. I mean, she just like mimics it all the time to annoy me. So I don't know if that means she likes it or just likes to annoy me. But
yeah, I mean, either way, she's mocking you the entire time. She's like, I don't even like this guy. I'm just going to keep you. He just lets me bully him.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's my position.
Speaking of the UK, what was the scene like when you were growing up there?
It's tough because I come from a really small town. So like there wasn't really much going on. I was lucky in that the area that I grew up in, the school that I went to, was very media focused and arts focused. So I had a lot of support, I would say, more so than most schools. It was quite encouraged to like do music, and you know, like there were so many bands around when I was growing up, and like kid bands, that sort of thing. But a couple of, you know, really interesting acts came out from it. Like there's a pop act called, she's called Gabrielle Aplin. She's like massive in the UK now. She's from my area, and then bands like Landscapes and More Than Life, like melodic hardcore bands that really kind of made some waves for a while there. And they were both from my like hometown and area. So there was definitely some stuff going on while I was growing up. I can't say much about the scene because I did the whole like finished high school, went to university, and then went traveling. So my whole formative kind of 20s and everything has been in North America and Vancouver. So like there is a scene, it exists. What a lot of people tend to say about the UK is that like a lot of bands prefer to go to Europe. They find the crowds and people more interactive there. That's like a general stereotype, but I can't even say that for myself because every show I've ever went to in the UK was, you know, sick. It was just the same as anywhere else. So don't know, hard to say, but I wouldn't know. I don't live there anymore.
Fair enough, man. All right, so like we had mentioned earlier, we previously had Nick on last summer, and he said that you had the full-length record recorded, but COVID really put the brakes on that. Can you describe like the frustrations with that situation, everything that kind of happened, like all around that?
I mean, there's so many things that everybody went through their own stuff and situations where that whole pandemic and what was going on just kind of threw everything under the bus and just really screwed up everything. And for us, what kind of pushed us to make a decision to hold on to that record for so long was because we had recorded Tough Love, I would say, like the would have been the summer of 2019, and so we kind of held on to that for about 6 months, planning all the promotion and the marketing and touring and everything, had it all planned, and then we released Tough Love on March 29th, 2020, which was 2 weeks into the pandemic. So basically, and it's like that was like our sophomore release, and we were proud of it, and so much had been planned around it, and everything just thrown away because of the uncertainty of what was going on in the world. And so with that, we pretty much from that point were already recording or writing the album. And pretty early on, we made the decision that like we weren't just gonna, put this out when it was ready. We were gonna try and hold back and wait until an opportune time where the world might be a little bit more normal again. And so that's what we did. We had, would have been last summer this time, the entire album finished, recorded, already being sent to get pressed by vinyl and stuff. And, it's all good to go, but we just held on to it for a year instead. We're sick of the songs by now.
So you had you literally had the vinyls in your hand during the pandemic.
No, we didn't. I mean, because of the supply chain and everything with vinyl.
That's why I was like, whoa, really? Because I know a lot of bands are having a ton of issues actually getting vinyls right now.
So I guess it was kind of a good thing that we did have it ready so early because, we sent it off to the vinyl manufacturers in, I want to say, the first week of September. And we got them the day before we left for tour in June.
Oh, so, wow. What would have happened if you didn't have them in your hands? Because you guys sell those on tour, right?
Yeah, well, we just would have been screwed. But like every other band, right? And every other artist, everybody's struggling to get vinyl on time. We were lucky in the fact that we had everything ready a whole year and a bit early.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, it's crazy. That's crazy luck right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It even got a little bit more lucky in that it turned out that our label, which is based in Chicago, they were using a printer or manufacturer up in Vancouver where we're from. And I guess that kind of hadn't been communicated to the place. And when they found out that we were local, they kind of pushed a few other jobs aside just because they wanted to help out a local band. So that kind of worked in our favor as well. I was quite lucky.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. I mean, I just think about going on tour without vinyls to sell, which is I would assume probably one of the number one things to sell. Maybe a t-shirt, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, we sold a lot on that tour, so we definitely, wanted to have them there for it. And it was lucky that we did for sure.
How does it feel to finally show Waiting for Your Colors to the world?
Well, I mean, it's been a long time coming, so it's nice that it was finally out. And there's always, I would say, apprehension before you release any song and any album or anything. At least I get it. And, we've had songs in the past where we've released and it's just flopped and been buried. And so it's a nerve-wracking experience waiting for the build-up. And to do that for a year, I'm ready to fucking jump, but it was good that it finally got released and thankfully was received pretty well so far, and everyone that's heard it has only said complimentary things. So mostly relief because I kind of hold on to that nerve the entire time.
Dude, I would say, I mean, just like you said earlier, you're sick of the songs and now everyone's actually finally getting to hear them.
Yeah.
And you're like, huh, I don't know. I can only imagine what that's like. Cause I've been recording for, I've forever now, and I hate those songs.
Yeah, like so 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years ago. I mean, some of these songs are like 5+ years.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, I could give a shit less about, like, I have new stuff. Let's move this about. The fact that you guys had to wait that long, I mean, just, I couldn't do it. I mean, I clearly am, but like, I don't want to.
Yeah. So. I mean, that is definitely the way. I feel like we've had a second wind with, because we weren't really practicing or anything throughout the pandemic. So we didn't kind of play the songs until we were gearing up for tours. So we had the kind of second wind there, getting to play them and be like, oh shit, this is actually quite fun to play live. And then, and now we've got a bit of a second wind, I would say, with people actually listening to it and sharing it. And you're kind of living vicariously through everyone else listening to it. You're like, oh, wow, cool. Yeah. You know, they like it. I kind of like it again.
newfound love.
Exactly. Yeah. Second wind for sure.
So are you guys sprinkling in songs from Tough Love too, since that one kind of got hit by the pandemic as well?
Yeah, that was, it's one of the biggest disappointments for us as a band, and it probably always will be, that that whole album cycle, you know, EP cycle was missed, and we never played any of those songs live until we went on this tour. So we're grateful in that, you know, we're able to tour again, but it does kind of suck having to miss a whole EP.
Yeah.
We play a couple of them and, you know, keep the singles around, but yeah, we quite often get people say, hey, can you play that song? And it's like, we got the new thing now.
It may have benefited you guys though, because you kind of popped off with Tough Love, and that's where we kind of found you. I don't know if you found them earlier, but yeah, I mean, as far, because a lot of people were just listening to music, watching movies, playing video games during the pandemic because they couldn't go anywhere. So it may have slightly worked in your favor.
Who knows? I mean, it's like the whole experience of those 2 years or whatever it was is like so, you know, it's like hazy. The memory, like, I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
Just wait till the monkeypox come full force.
We'll
do it again.
Yeah, there were definitely, like, you know, people reaching out, and there was growth for sure. But it was hard to tell, you know, like, I think as a band, we always kind of base where we're at kind of on going out and touring. Or I don't know. There's so many parts to being in a band, and that's kind of what you expect to do, that it was difficult to tell where we were with only online, right? So... it was a weird time, definitely.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's stop talking about this depressing moment in history. We're done with it. Let's talk about the major themes behind Waiting for Your Colors. What's the message, the story?
Well, you said let's be done with the depressing stuff, and then
moving on to the next depressing thing.
Yeah, okay.
That's how we work around here.
Depressing segment number two. When I was writing this, I was late 20s. A lot of the stuff, I should say, a lot of the lyrics that I wrote, I'm late 20s, and looking at myself and my life, and like, you know, I'm over in Canada, all my family's over in the UK, what the hell am I doing? Kind of pissing around with music and not really knowing what I'm doing and just doing a 9-to-5 to get by and that sort of thing. And so that's really, I would say, the main concept of the album. It's about approaching that big 30 and thinking, you know, what am I doing with myself, and should I be doing something more? Should I be proud of what I'm doing? Why aren't I? And all those kind of difficult questions. And the lyric it's in the last song, Waiting for Your Colors. But I thought that kind of tied it in quite nicely. It's like waiting to see what kind of person you are and asking those kind of questions, like waiting for those colors to like show themselves. And that's kind of the main theme of a lot of those songs on the album.
Absolutely. Well, Roper's about 32, so
just about
you
to say,
probably really bummed him out.
I've got 2 months left. Have you, will the colors show up in 2 months, or do I still have to wait?
No, but the bad back turns up in 2 months. I can promise you that.
No. You're going to
wait.
I'm not even, I'm about turned 27, so I got some time.
No, well, that's when I started writing this. I was like, "Oh shit, it's coming up quick." I just turned 30 this year, and all of a sudden, I would say like last month, I'm like, "What's going on with my back? Like, never had any issues. How can this be real? How could how could it happen this way, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. We're all getting old. Like, well, I was talking to, we're talking to Ben Quad, if you ever listen to them at all. Amazing band. And we were talking about how, like, when we go to shows, it's just, we see all these younger kids now, and now we're the old ones. And it's like, oh my God.
Yep.
It's like, what am I doing with my life? I'm hanging out with a bunch of 22-year-olds in a pit. So.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry. We feel the same.
What are some of your favorite tracks from Waiting for Your Colors?
I mean, for me, like, mine has kind of changed as time has gone on. I've gone from like a couple of different songs. I think maybe some of the guys are the same, like their kind of preferences change a little bit. At the moment, I'd say Drown is one of my favorites. That song like went through a bunch of revisions, I would say, to get it where it was. And I guess the first kind of 2 minutes of it are pretty much the same, but that whole ending, I rewrote a few different times, and to get the way it ended up is completely different to the original way it was. And so I like that song for the growth it kind of went through. I kind of love how the ending just kind of goes right down from being such a fast song to be stripped right back. So that one's right up there for me. The other one I like, which is a bit abnormal for us, I would say, like we wrote more of a pop song. Whereas normally we're just hitting double time the entire 3 minutes. But yeah, I really like 22 Reasons. I think that kind of was a different direction.
It's a nice little break in between it all. That's why I think that's what's going to hold the attention most of all, I think, for everybody.
Oh yeah. And I think it's good with we kind of talked a lot about when we were writing these songs or picking these songs from, you know, the 30 odd demos we had, it's good with a full length. You can kind of create a flow, and all of us, you know, if ever someone is like, oh, which track should I listen to? We're like, no, listen 1 to 10, because we put a lot of thought into like how they go into each other. And, you know, I think that's cool with a full length. You can kind of carry the listener like, okay, let's give them a bit of a reprieve down here and bring them back.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I was going to ask, because you said, you know, you're all in double time. I was like, how tired are you and your drummer? Like, like you guys must be exhausted.
The show on Friday, it was the singly like hottest venue I've ever played in my life.
I did see that post on Instagram.
Yeah, it was stupid. It was so hot. Really cool place, really cool venue, but it's pretty new and they are saving up for AC and don't have it yet.
Oh,
our drummer Chloe, she ran straight out and threw up for an hour.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So
she
it's
finished the set though.
Yeah, we got through it. She nailed it, but was dying.
Yeah, I bet. Little baby barf throughout the songs, you know. I was keep going.
Multiple times like losing my feet and eyes going to the back of my head about to like pass out. And it was, yeah, tough. But I don't know. I guess we're kind of used to it, just going 100 miles an hour the entire time.
Yeah. Well, damn. I feel bad for your drummer.
Yeah. Yeah.
So all of your songs paint a perfect picture of how you're feeling or what the song is about. How important is the use of imagery when you're writing?
Interesting. And maybe I'm like not the best one to ask about this. I know that Nick, he's quite often, at least in the past, had kind of images in mind for like what the EP artwork could be or what the main colors are. I think for this one, I do graphic design as well, for my kind of 9 to 5. And I didn't necessarily think of imagery or anything like that when or painting a picture for the songwriting side of things, but I definitely had it for the, you know, the actual artwork and concept and how I wanted it all to look. So that, you know, design, which is kind of an interesting, it's just a chair with a balloon on it. But
I mean, I like it though.
It's still really cool.
Yeah.
Simplicity is powerful. Did you use any photography with that or was that all graphic design?
Yeah. So that's, so the photo was taken, during the video shoot for 22 Reasons.
Okay.
So But and then yeah, just a little bit of cleaning up with graphic design. But the idea was that, you know, you're feeling the weight of the world and you're trying to float away and trying to become who you are meant to be, but you're held down by this heavy chair. And I don't know. I think finding some kind of deeper meaning in something simple is kind of what I was going for. But in terms of musically and tying it in with the artwork, I'm not sure if I did that in a natural kind of way. I had this image in my head of like, oh, a balloon and a chair. And it kind of managed to fit in together, I would say, with the kind of whole theme and concept of the album.
It's cool how things like that work out.
That's it. Yeah. It was probably just an image in the back of my head. You know, I'm writing all these lyrics and it's a subliminal message in the back of my mind. Who knows?
Ooh, a conspiracy in the works. Yeah.
So was this your guys' first tour of America?
No. So that was our third run that we've done. We went out in 2018, actually with Belmont, which was sick. We went out with Such Gold in Belmont. And that was kind of a short run, just like a week and a half or something like that down the West. We came back in 2019 and went over to the East and kind of the Midwest. And that was with Telltale, who are, you know, great band, and a band called Harbor, which I believe they're now Fortune Cove. Great buddies and had a really good time out there. And then this was the third time.
This was your headlining though, right?
I guess, yeah, parts of it. We did kind of a co-headliner with Coolin' or Captains. And
okay.
We would trade off depending on how we were feeling each night. You know, like Luke and Connor, who sing in Captains, would be like, voice is gone. you guys are headlining tonight. So that's kind of, we kind of played it all by ear and switched it up a little bit. And then, yeah, the second half of the tour was with Settle Your Scores and Will Met. So, and it was mostly Settle Your Scores that would close out the night at that point.
Nice. What do you guys think of Des Moines?
Des Moines was actually a great show. I think a lot of the cities we went to, it was very dependent on the day. Mm-hmm. And I completely get that. It's pretty tough to go out on a Tuesday night. Like, you know, mm-hmm. if we turn up in a city and it's a pretty big city, but it's still a Tuesday night. So we kind of felt those kind of shows, and then we played Des Moines on a Friday, and it was well promoted, great bands on it, and it was a great show. I actually really liked it. Never been there before.
Most people don't come here.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy because that venue is not really known for pop punk shows.
What venue was it?
Lefties. Yeah,
is it Lefties? Yeah.
But they've got rid of our old pop punk venue last year or
the Muse.
Years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because of the pandemic. So I think Lefties is going to start having a lot of,
they've taken on a lot of like decently well-known names in our scene. So it's been cool to see that
venues just dropping down from the pandemic. So sucks to hear about that, but at least you got Lefties coming through.
Yeah.
Lefties. So Fraser, who are some bands that you would like to tour with?
Between You and Me.
Ooh, oh, that'd be a good one.
Yeah, you just tickled Roper's heartstrings right there because he loves that band.
They're like my favorite. They put out, I would say, the best album this year out of, you know, a bunch of bands, I guess, from this kind of genre. My favorite album. I just think those guys wrote it front to back, just killer of an album. Like some of the songs on that just, they're just very, very good. I think those guys deserve to 100% blow up quickly because
right now.
Yes.
Right now. And take us with you.
Yeah. Have you heard their cover of Nerve, their acoustic cover of Nerve?
Yes. So that's the first thing I ever heard.
Same from here.
And so I've been like following them since. And I forget his name, the singer, but he's just extremely talented, I would say. And Yeah, I'm very pleased that like they're starting to get the recognition they deserve. I see they're like going out of state champs and soonish, I think, in the fall, and like, yeah, well deserved.
Absolutely.
You didn't even say the story so far. I'm like, come on, Frasier.
I mean, well, that's one. Number two is so far. Maybe no pressure because, I mean, the story so far would, of course, be stupid. It would be so good. But I feel like they're not unattainable, but I guess I'm trying to think like the kind of bands they would want to tour with now, because their sound is quite different to what it used to be and, you know, what they're trying to do. So it'd be interesting to hear what they come up with their next album. But you can hear that, or you can 100% tell that Parker Cannon just needed that finger pointing and crowd surfing again and started up No Pressure. So that just looks like so much fun to me. Like, yeah, that's the crowd I would love to be in front of. And yeah, so I'd say No Pressure / Story So Far. That would be a sick time. I'd really like to tour with the Punches as well. So we just played the show in Chicago with them, and they were just phenomenal and great dudes. I think personally, I would just love to tour with those guys because they were such a good hang and yeah, great music. So yeah, those are the current ones, I'd say.
Nice.
Here's what I pulled from that, and it's going to make headlines everywhere. Frasier from Chief State, not a fan of Proper Dose?
No. Okay. Now here's the thing. I am a fan of Proper Dose, and I love that album. But it's a different beast, I would say, I guess what the angle that Chief State is kind of on and that sort of thing, and yeah, I don't know. I think it's just, you know, they're like, they're going like this kind of pop or indie or alti route. And it's not that I dislike that at all. I love that album. And, you know, I get to love this band now for a whole different perspective and different angle. And Parker gave us No Pressure. So I still got that. So, yeah, you know, that's kind of where
we have a theory that Story So Far, after their next record, they're donezo. Yeah. And then it's just going to be No Pressure from now on for Parker. That's what we're thinking. Well, we've seen some... We do a news segment thing, and we saw that Parker Cannon took the Story So Far off their Instagram, which is... I know, Frasier's face just went dark.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy.
It's like, I don't know, they're such a great band and incredible musicians together. It'd be a shame that they would just call it a day, because they've not only have, I think it's, I don't know what to say here, because there's definitely two ways that bands can go, right? Bands that have longevity. You can either keep doing the same kind of music over and over, but like perfecting it. And it's not over and over in a bad sense. It's you're playing similar sounding songs, but in different ways. And you keep that sound. And I would say State Champs is a band like that, where they're very fundamentally pop punk, if you want to call it that, and they keep releasing new music, which is just awesome. Like, it keeps being different, but still that same level of quality that they've always had. Absolutely. Or you go the other way, and you know, bands like Turnstile, or that they just, you know, that album they released last year, and how that's very different to where they were. Trophy Eyes is a band that they've kind of evolved into different styles of music, and I'd say the Story So Far did that. And it, you know, that can go one of two ways. You can have people hate on it, and I'm sure there are, but it can also go very well. And I think the Story So Far and what they did with Proper Dose was really good. It was a successful album, and they've now opened up this whole plateau of different styles of songs they can release. So I think it would be such a shame if they were to call it a day, because you know, it's like the whole music world is their oyster at this point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It'd be a shame if they just did Bob Marley covers.
Yeah.
they had one off of one of their EPs that we kind of took a stab at one day. So
what is in store for the future of Chief State?
Don't now.
Actually, we're done.
Yeah.
We just broke up. What are you on about? We're not 100% certain of what we're going to do next, which is kind of exciting. You know, we haven't really had that sit down and it's like, this is what we're doing next. But the general talks are of trying to get out to Europe to tour, potentially making out to Japan if an arrangement we have had, you know, works out. Getting back to the States, because, I mean, we're right here. We're right on the border with the U.S. So, I mean, we're perfectly positioned to come and play, you know, all of the cities. Canada's a different beast because it's just as big as the States, but with 10% of the population and, you know, a lot less cities. So as much as we love Canada and living in Canada and where we're from and we love the cities that we play, it's harder to tour Canada. So, you know, for us, it makes sense to tour the U.S. as often as possible. But, you know, we're looking for the right opportunities as well. So those are the things we're thinking about in terms of live. We've had brief talks about doing an acoustic EP just for the hell of it. Why not? And that would probably be something we would do kind of later this year. And then in the background, you know, we're always writing. So we have plenty of songs in the pocket already, and it's just about, you know, how do we want to go, what direction do we want to go, sound wise do we want to do the State Champs, or do we want to do the Story So Far and kind of branch out into a different sound, or maybe a slightly different sound, who knows? So there's a lot of conversations we had, and we haven't had them yet. That doesn't mean that they're not going to happen soon or anything like that. It's just kind of a fresh time. It's nice to just release something and have a breather, because the last year planning for this tour and the release and all of it, it's a lot of work, and it's nice to just kind of take some time and reassess kind of which direction we want to go. So that's where we're at the moment.
Nice.
So I got to ask this question. Canadians versus Americans. Are Canadians truly that much nicer than Americans?
Yeah. No. No. I think it's dependent, right? Like, depends on that person and that time of day. And I don't know. I would say we're also in Vancouver, which is, you know, like how in the US you'd kind of say like Cali people are different to Midwest or New York people and that sort of thing. So Vancouver is kind of the California or Cali kind of people of Canada. So it's, my perspective is kind of, I don't know, different. I'm sure there's like, you know, places in Canada that really are stereotypically that, that much nicer, but from my perspective, it just seems exactly the same as the whole continent. It just depends really who stood in front of you. I'm always like, I think from the outside, you know, you guys have your own perspective of your own country. And from the outside, media portrays the US quite negatively a lot of the time.
They get it right a lot.
Yeah. But about various different things, right? There's a lot of issues that your country has with certain things. But there's also amazing positives. You know, for me personally, every time I've been in any US city, I'm always like, seems bad to say, but like pleasantly surprised at just how nice people are, and or just how nice the city is, or how cool the city is, or how, because the picture that's often painted about the US isn't the nicest or the best. From the outside. So I don't know. I love the US. So personally, and just coming back, I'd say maybe Americans are nicer. Who knows?
We could change it here for Fraser.
It's a personal, maybe it's my accent as well. Maybe in Vancouver, it's very, there's a lot of immigration. So maybe people are just used to accents, but as soon as I get down to the States, everyone's like, wow, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe that's, you know, kind of, affecting my perspective of the country. But I think Americans are awesome. I think the Americans are the best part about the States, for sure.
Absolutely. Can you do your best American accent for us?
I was just about to ask you. Dude.
I want to hear it.
Oh, man. Okay, so it's kind of embarrassing in that, like, the thing that's, you know, I don't know if you guys do this, but if you try and do an accent, maybe you have, like, a go-to saying to get you started.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
So, like, in Australia, I'd be like, Jack, can I have a shrimp on the barbie? And then I can kind of get going. Mm-hmm. But for the American accent, it's kind of embarrassing. It's just, somebody farted around here,
I mean, there. They put it in Canada, but...
Yeah, I know, yeah. I mean, I get confused. somebody farted around here, getting back in my truck.
You sound like a Midwesterner, yeah. Dude. You sound like everybody I sell cars to, so I love it.
That's what I was going for. That's what I was going for.
Was it? Yeah. I mean, you killed it, dude.
Perfect.
All right, so we're at the section where we get to talk, or we get to ask our quick draw questions. The whole point of this is to not think too much about it, just whatever's at the top of your head, and let's roll into it. Who is the most talented musician in pop punk?
I don't know.
You can skip if you want.
It's not me. Most talented musician in pop punk. It would probably be the guitar set of Knuckle Puck. I forgot his name.
Oh. What is
that? That's where it went.
Nick Casasanto?
Is that who it is?
Yeah, that might be it. I think the riffs that he writes are important. Oh, got it. No, sorry. And this sounds awful. Sorry, Nick. But it's definitely Dan and Alan out of 4 Year Strong.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah. Roper had a little sneak peek back there for you. If you're
there you go.
All his album stuff over there.
Yeah.
It was facing me the whole time, there we go.
What's the best or worst band name you've heard?
Chief State.
I think State Champs is the best pop punk band name because it says pop punk to you.
Yeah.
It's State Champs. I don't know. I think it's an awesome name. And it is completely it's by chance that we ended up being Chief State as well. Like, we've had people comment before, like, how did that get? And State came from State Champs, but yeah, who knows? But I think State Champs is the best name. Worst name? I can't think of any. I think, yeah, nothing off the top of my head that I hate. Oh, wait.
There's one.
Hold on, there might be a band. Hold on. I can't remember their name. So if I hate it that much, I blocked it from my memory.
Totally forgot it. Love it. Which band member of Chief State eats the most fast food?
Okay, so my first thought went to Justin because that if you take away fast and just said the most food, the guy like never stops eating. He is always eating something. Whether it's just like candy or whatever, but he's eating something all the time. But fast food, I actually think it's Nick. I think he gets fast food quite often and like surprisingly so. And he'll quite often be like, oh, let's go there. And I'm like, ah, I'm like, I need something. Like,
give me substance.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I'd go for Nick for fast food.
All right. Who is the best dressed in Chief State?
Justin. It's Justin. I think like you can also like it depends on you know where you kind of put yourself with trends. Like I am definitely wearing skinny jeans, whereas the whole world is saying now that you know all Gen Z and everyone that's kind of younger are wearing the baggy jeans and stuff like that. So if that's what's cool, then that would be Nick because he quite often will you know dress quite a bit younger, I suppose. but I personally think Justin dresses the best. He I guess he likes fashion. I'm not sure what he does, but he typically, you know, I'm a band t-shirt guy and skinny jeans.
Yeah,
me. That's about it. Yeah.
If I could find a sweater that no one recognizes the logo from, that's my forte there. What's the worst movie you've ever seen?
It came up in conversation. It's the Ramones movie they did.
Oh, yeah. Rock and Roll High School?
Rock and Roll High School.
I haven't seen it. Is it bad, Robert?
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
My dad described it when I was younger as the best but worst movie ever. And I was and watched it, and then I was like, I don't get where it was the best. And he was like, it's the best because the Ramones were in it, but it's the worst because it is the worst ever.
It's so cheesy.
I might have to watch it now.
Yeah.
I love Glenn for punishment.
My mom showed me when I was in like junior high.
How old is this movie?
Like 70s?
70s.
Oh, early.
Yeah. Maybe 80s. Early 80s, yeah.
Do you believe in ghosts? Have you ever seen one?
Yeah, I believe in ghosts. I haven't seen one, but like they've been, my mom is, I don't know if she's a witch or something, but she has quite a lot of like experience with ghosts, and she used to work nights a lot when we were growing up, and obviously in England, so everything is like, every building is like older than this continent, and she like has told me countless experiences with ghosts that she's had, and I've also had a couple of experiences of ghosts from like friends, again in like old houses and stuff like that. So yeah, I believe in ghosts, even though I've never seen them myself.
Interesting. We get like the cold chills from like your friend's homes. Is that what you were saying?
I've got like a couple of pretty bad or scary like ghost stories, I'd say. But yeah, they're real.
All right, we'll stay curious here. What are the most challenging lyrics to sing for Chief State?
So 22 Reasons. We just played that on Friday, and I've never played it. I think I played it once on 4th of July at a late party friend's house show. But on Friday we played it, you know, actually practiced. And it's pretty high in the chorus. And we didn't tune down or anything. We played it like the recording. And I think with the heat, I couldn't breathe. I was like dying. So that one's pretty hard. The one that's actually the hardest is Something Good for Once from Tough Love. That's like two steps higher than anything else we've ever released. So it's extremely frigging high and fast. So that's a song we will never play. Because it's actually like one of my favorites, but yeah, I can't sing that at all.
Yeah.
Are you a dog or a cat person?
I'm a dog person. However, I have a dog, and I grew up with cats as well. But I already have a dog now, and I'm trying to convince my girlfriend that we should get a cat. Because I think, I don't know, I like the dynamic of having both animals. But yeah, dog is number one, but I still love cats as well.
Okay. What's your worst habit?
I don't know if I want to get too deep on that.
He's a perfect person.
No. There's some bad things I do. I think my biggest thing, like in general, is not being very communicative with people and just ignoring or shutting down. So that's a habit in that it's something that I'm trying to fix in my life. But in terms of habits, like as in just like a little general thing. I fart a lot. So I'm like, if you were asking my girlfriend, that's what she'd say. If you were asking my band, that's what she'd say. So, I mean, that's definitely probably what most people would say about me.
That's what I will be known for. The man who farts a lot.
Gassy man. Who gets the ox in Chief State?
I think there's a pretty fair share between, but the person who grabs the ox and like runs away with it most times would be Justin. He listens to a lot of K-pop and he listens to like a lot of heavier music as well. He's got a pretty, and then he also like used to do a cappella. So like, you never know what you're going to get with him.
Interesting.
I would say he grabs the ox a few too many times. I'm like, man, you need to stop. But yeah, he's the one that grabs it. He's not given it.
He's not handed it.
Is he playing like BTS or 1 OK Rock or what's he playing?
Yeah, he's playing BTS. He's playing a lot of BTS.
Hey man, they got some crazy ass music videos. I don't know if you've seen them, but it's
crazy. Yeah, there's something that I've thought about and have written down about Chief State potentially doing a BTS music video, but I shouldn't have said that out loud because now other bands are going to be like, "That's a great idea." But yeah. But yeah, no, I've seen a couple, and every time I've seen them, I've been like, "What is this?" You know,
it's amazing.
Never seen one.
I stumbled upon BTS one day, and then I was like, "I don't," because they're one of the most popular bands in the world. And so I don't know how I got onto it, but I saw a music video. And I was like, am I tripping or what? Because there was so much happening. And on top of that, I mean, the production that went into those music videos had to be within like the 100,000s, if not even higher. Damn. I was like, wow. So I hope your graphic design work does well for you, Frazier. It's going to be an expensive music video.
It might be. Yeah. We'll see how that goes. That might be the angle, though, you know? It's like kind of DIY BTS.
I love it. Frazier, that's all the questions we have for you. This is your time to promote anything and everything you could ever want. 3, 2, 1, go.
Chief State, Waiting for Your Colors. We just brought that out in July. Still fresh. Go and check it out if you haven't. If you have, listen to it again and again, please. But like importantly, share it with people. Please share it with people that are similar minded that you think might like it. So, you know, that's kind of the position we're in as an artist right now, is like trying to grow. So if you like what we do, please share it with people and suggest it to similar minded people, and check it out.
Beautiful. I love it. Awesome. Everyone, that is the handsome Frazier from Chief State. Roper, I don't know about you, but I had a lot of fun with this.
I did too.
I think everyone Chief State so far we've had on is absolutely the most nicest people ever. And it's because they're from British Columbia, not that, from America.
Damn, that might be it then. Maybe it's right. Maybe Canadians are nicer. Who knows? But then, no, I'm British, so I should be an asshole.
Oh, yeah. We hate you. No, wait, who is the worst? Oh. The French, right? The French are the meanest. Isn't that how it works?
I don't know. I don't know any French people.
Seems like I get myself in trouble here, so...
Well, you're the nicest British person we have ever met.
Yeah, I think that's true. I don't know.
I'm the nicest British person that has ever been on this podcast.
Yes, there we go.
I don't think we're going to beat that anytime soon.
Nope.
All right, man. That was it for us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Everyone, go check out their new record. Like you said, just dropped, and it's amazing. We've had a lot of fun listening to it. So we're out. Roper.
Yeah, dude.
How cool was that?
That was awesome.
I told you. So I was going to say, as soon as I mentioned his accent and I made an idiot fool out of myself, it was smooth sailing from there.
Smooth sailing.
We had a ton of fun with Frazier. And I wonder, my thing is sometimes we have multiple people on from the band that comes on. And like, are we ever going to do like every single person? Because we've done Goalkeeper twice.
Yeah, we just need one more member.
Yeah, that one might be easier.
Yeah.
State champs. Chief State.
That one?
Yeah, that would be nice. Chief State. We have two.
Two
of
members.
The four? That's a five members.
There's five.
Is it five?
Yeah.
Okay. Captains. I think that's it though.
Captains, we could probably see if we can get... If they ever want to come back on our podcast.
We had, who was it, Nick, right?
Yeah, we had Nick.
Two Nicks.
Captains, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, everyone's been awesome. I don't think we've had many bad interviews.
We only need one more person from Ben Quad, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We told him he wasn't a fan of the show, a friend of the show until he comes back on. So,
yeah.
I've been extra, like, feisty on these interviews.
Yeah, you have.
I know.
I think it's just because, like, we pre-recorded all of them this time instead of like doing it week of. So you're like, I don't want to record them. but it's even it's like way more beneficial to us to pre-record them.
So much. We need to do it when we're on our break.
Yeah.
So that way, it's because like sometimes it's like all I do is go to work and work on the podcast and repeat that until Saturday, and I finally get to breathe again.
At least you get to work on it at work.
Sometimes I haven't been because it's too distracting there.
Yeah.
So I feel like it kind of. I suffered a little bit, so I've been doing it from home.
It's a Monday through Sunday thing for me.
Monday through Sunday. What is
podcast?
Oh, you just work on it every now and again. I don't know how your work schedule works.
Graphics, all on Sundays, and then I'll work on the playlist and I'll work on the outlines and stuff.
Yeah, I wish I could just put it into one day, and sometimes I can, but
well, it just depends on like how research heavy.
Oh, true. So, Roper.
Yeah.
I know we do some listener responses. What do you ask everyone?
I asked, who is your favorite band that you discovered during the pandemic?
Oh, okay.
I thought that was a pretty interesting question.
Yeah, it's pretty clever. You clever boy.
David Vans 101 said, Oolong, No Pressure, and Grumpster.
I know No Pressure. Do you know the other two?
Oolong, I think I've listened to them a little bit. Oolong is a Dragon Ball character, so that's...
Oh, that would make sense.
I was like, I want to check that one out. But I've listened to them a little bit. I've never heard Grumpster, so this will be nice. JPG Commoner, 1997, said, Midtown/Two Eyes Open. For Midtown, we had their drummer on our podcast.
We did?
Yeah.
When?
Sucker Punch.
He plays. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Didn't they do a cover of...
Avril Lavigne.
Yeah.
It's fucking awesome.
See, I do know these bands. I just don't know I know them.
Yeah. Nice reminder for you.
Thank you.
Reminder. Pezza 5150 says, 4 years strong. Shades emoji.
Yeah. I feel like you're a little late to the party, my dude.
Yeah.
But, hey, I'm happy that you've joined the party bus.
Yeah.
Welcome shots on to me. No, wait. Shots on Roper.
Shots off of me.
You have to take a shot off of Roper's belly.
Off my tummy.
Mm-hmm.
Barely_fluent said, Motion City soundtrack with the hands up in the air emoji.
That's crazy, yeah, too. When have they released anything recently?
They might have put out some new stuff like a couple of years ago, but.
Did they?
Yeah. They still tour. I just don't know if they write new music or not.
I can't remember hearing much from them.
I don't know. I've seen them. 3 or 4 times now, and wasn't really huge into them until a couple of years ago, and then I fell in love with them.
Interesting.
Francisco_G_19 says, House Parties, super underrated band. You know, I think I might have heard them.
I like the name.
But can't remember. And then my dad says, Government Mule.
Hmm.
That's not a punk band, but you know what? They're still pretty good.
Are they good?
Yeah.
Are they country?
They're like... Country blues rock,
the country kiss my bash like Rascal Flatts. What is I forget what it was.
Country
I was
just off the bash. what was
right? It? It's country bash kiss my ass like Rascal Flatts podcast.
There we go.
Yeah, that was like an off the cuff thing.
That was. So
I'm pretty sure we had 3 working titles for that one episode.
We did.
Good times. But yeah, I'm trying to think who I was. I feel like we discovered a ton because that's when we started our podcast.
Yeah. If I were to say beginning of the pandemic, I can't remember because I don't think I was listening to pop punk too much in the beginning of the pandemic.
Were we friends before the pandemic or during the pandemic?
No, during. It was summer of.
Yeah.
But definitely Chief State was one for me. Pretty much any band that I talk about in like the first and second season that I've a lot of these bands that I'm obsessed with now I found during the pandemic.
Yeah, I feel like I've found a ton, but I can't even think of who they would be off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Right now. But yeah,
I'll tell you one that I didn't want to find is Machine Gun Kelly.
I mean
shut the fuck up.
You mean the Prince of Pop Punk?
The Prince of Pop Punk. Yeah. Whoa. Okay. I never met too bad.
We need to move this along. All Are any of you listeners in a small and up-and-coming band? If that's the case, we would love to hear from you. If you want to be a part of the show, we have a nifty Google form you can fill out to give us all the info we need to get your song submitted. You can find a link to the form in our link tree on any and all of our social medias. Now, Roper.
Yeah.
This week, we have You Over Me with their song, There For You. Energetic, electric, and eager to make their mark on the up-and-coming pop-punk scene, You Over Me are a free-minded, multi-gendered, lively bunch of self-made musicians. So we gotta know about this song, Roper, There For You. A song written during the first UK lockdown to ensure that people are made aware of ongoing mental health issues and that we are all supporting one another through the tough time faced through the pandemic. We all hold this song very close to our hearts, and we hope that it can be a reminder that you are loved, Roper.
Oh.
That was like a... I have a trouble reading and talking. it was kind of like a... It was like a... my brain needs to like work what so I can get the end of this.
How is this working?
And then when I read the reminder you are loved, it was like a nice little like, oh, moment.
Nice little boost.
Yeah, I like that. So, Roper, you have one job. Yeah. Well, you have a lot of jobs, but this is the most important job.
This is the most important?
Clearly.
I mean, it's the least amount of effort.
And that's usually how it is.
Kick it!
You're not a burden, believe in your worth, cause you're stronger than you know. Sometimes it's hard to let go. We all fall down, but it's hard to get back up with nobody by your side. I'll forgive all your mistakes and you forgive mine. I may be a little lost, but I'll find the hope for you to hold on to. You may be a little lost, but you'll find your way. And you won't be alone, cause when you look back, you'll find me. Even if there's gray clouds and lockdowns and the world stops turning, you feel there's no purpose and there's no air and no air, I'll shelter you from the rain. Talk to me about your pain. Everything I said, every word I meant. Nothing you say will push me away. For you. Shelter you from the rain.
Tell me what you thought.
I like this song.
You like this song?
It had some pretty cool synthesizers in it.
I think the vocals were definitely a standout here.
Well, yeah, they're at the forefront of this whole track.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. I think lyrically, it's got a nice little message behind it, and yeah. I'm happy that we had it on the show. But, you know, sometimes I always like to call bands out. And I'd be like, hey, You only got 148 monthly listeners, you over me.
What's up with that?
What's going on?
It's not their fault.
It's not their fault. No. It's your fault, listener. No. If you guys like this band, feel free to check them out. They're on the Spoofy. They're on the Apple Music. They're whatever else.
Spooty.
Spooty, baby. Jump on that Spooty. Check out You Over Me.
Thanks for listening to our show. As a reminder, you can find our link tree on any and all of our social media. Our username is PPES Podcast everywhere. That's Instagram. That's Facebook. Mm-hmm. Twitter.
Yeah.
And more.
And more.
Please drop LinkedIn. Us.
Sorry. Go ahead.
God damn it. Please drop us a 5-star rating on Spotify and Apple Podcasts to help our show grow.
I love that.
Every single song you heard on today's episode will be on a Spotify playlist. You can also find a playlist of our up-and-coming bands from each and every season, as well as our Pop Punk Emo Supremo Picks playlist that I curate weekly.
So proud of you.
That is weekly, dude. Don't forget to check out our new monthly show, Pop Punk Emo Supremo News, for all your monthly new releases, tour announcements, and more.
It's coming at the end of this month.
Yeah.
This was a new thing for us. We thought we were going to do it weekly. We didn't.
We just couldn't
keep up with it. Or we couldn't find enough to add to it to make it worthwhile.
Yeah.
So I saw that you had added monthly in before.
Yeah.
And I was like, aha, but I had changed it. I had changed it. You didn't even know.
Yeah.
Yeah, Roper, time for your hot take, baby. What's going on?
You ready for this one?
Yeah, did you actually prepare something?
I did.
Oh, okay.
Don't go roller skating. Actually, don't try to learn how to rollerblade at the age of 30.
At the age of 30. You're not 30, though.
No.
So.
I tried to learn, but I still. Dude.
Aren't you 28 or 29?
I'm 29.
Oh, no. Your big 30's coming up.
I've got 2 months.
Yes. We get November 11th?
November 7th.
Seventh, it rhymed. That's why
my girlfriend and I went rollerblading yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and it lasted. She was skating circles around me, dude.
Well, yeah, she probably does it.
Yeah, it was awesome. I thought I would just buy like a cheap pair of rollerblades and then like be fine because I used to be able to rollerblade.
Mm-hmm.
No, dude, it's hard.
Yeah,
I made my
ankles.
My ankles. I made it like a 5 to 10 feet out of my car at Gray's Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Just ate shit right away.
So did you ever get around the whole lake?
No. We did not make it very far.
She's probably so disappointed.
Yeah, I'm surprised she like wants to be my girlfriend after that.
After seeing, what kind of man doesn't know how to skate?
This is so fucking funny, though. Like, she's like already down the hill,
mm-hmm.
and there's like these bushes, right? And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna see if I can make it down the hill. And I'm not moving very fast, but like this guy's walking up the hill. And I grab onto these bushes and just fall right down in them. And then this guy comes up to me and he's like, "Are you okay? Are you okay?"
Oh, he's worried.
And I'm like, "Yeah, dude, I'm fine." Like, I'm laughing, obviously. I'm like, I'm just more so embarrassed than anything.
You have like a bone sticking to your leg.
No.
You're like, "I'm fine. Don't worry about it."
No. And then, like, I tried to go to like a flat part. And then I skated the flat part and was fine. And then there's another hill. And then I just, like, tried to go down that hill. And then I ate shit there, like, really bad till, like, my ass is bruised and stuff.
You got purple butt?
I don't know. It's, like, more so a purple side leg. I'm like, hey, do you mind if I just, like, walk next to you while you skate? And then we ended up just going to Confluence Brewery and watching some guy play guitar.
You should have just, like, got a rope and, like, wrapped it around her and just kind of, like, held on. You know?
I think I'm just going to buy, a cruiser skateboard and just skate next to her. I know how to skateboard, so.
Or an electric scooter.
There we go.
Those are really cool.
Well, the whole point of this is to get exercise.
Oh. Yeah. There are better ways to exercise.
But I'm definitely sore, so.
Yeah,
I don't know.
For what reasons, though? Roper's got a girlfriend, everyone.
I do.
This is the first time in our entire show that Roper has come to the table with a lovely lady.
Yeah.
The loveliest. I've never met her. She seems cool based off what Roper says.
She's very cool, and she's a sweetheart. So.
She, like out of 10, how cool.
Out of 10?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, 10.
So she likes Dragon Ball Z.
No, I don't think she does.
She's not a 10, then. You just lied.
Well,
that's your 10. It's Dragon Ball Z. It's 10. Do you like pop punk music?
Yeah. That's how we
I remember
started the whole combo.
What's her favorite band?
Stan Atlantic right now.
Oh, that's a solid choice, honestly.
But then I showed her Yours Truly. She's like, how come I've never listened to this before? I'm like, I don't know.
It's like, literally have a show about this band. Yeah. Check it out.
Yeah.
That's what I used to when I ever matched with someone.
Oh, yeah.
That had like
shamelessly promote our podcast.
Oh, yeah, I did. I've promoted it so many times, and they always listened to a few episodes until I started to, you know, kind of steer away from that person, and then never heard from them again.
Nope. Whenever.
So maybe they're a secret fan. Hey, if you're still out there, hit me up. But don't really.
They probably aren't for a reason.
Yeah. You're an asshole.
Just kidding, bro.
Oh, I'm sure.
Maybe.
Okay.
Do you have a hot take this week?
Hot takes would I have?
Or do you have any, like... Oh, Hunter's buying a house.
Oh, yeah. I'm buying a house.
Yeah, that's cool.
I'm buying a house. I bought women's socks, so my buying choices aren't perfect. But hopefully this house is a... I'll tell you what. Here's my hot take. Make sure you go... If you're going to buy a house, make sure you got some fucking money lined up, baby. Because I didn't. I didn't have any fucking money lined up. And every fucking time I turn around, they're like, oh, that's $1,000. That's $2,000. Oh... I'm like, oh, is that it? They're like, yeah, that's it. I'm like, okay. And then they're like, oh, you have to pay for an inspector, too. Oh, an inspector now, huh?
Yeah.
What else do I have to pay for? Oh, we got to pay this one thing, too. And it's $500. I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ. So I'm going to be a very poor. But I found out from Chris that he didn't have to pay his mortgage payment for 2 months.
Yep.
So I can recuperate within that 2 months and hopefully not
die. They figure, well, we don't have to talk about it on here. I was going to ask you if you figured out your mortgage yet.
Yeah, it's going to be... A little higher than I've ever paid before, but
yeah,
I've been making more money than I've ever made before.
See?
So.
Lining up.
Making the stream.
Yeah. I think eventually I want to start looking for a house.
You can just live in my house.
No.
And do my dishes.
Doesn't work that way.
What is your problem?
I don't even like cleaning up after myself.
Think about, wouldn't you rather clean up after a friend?
No.